How Australia's cities will cope with population growth has been high on the agenda this week, with Prime Minister Scott Morrison suggesting stricter limits on immigration.
The roads are clogged, the buses and the trains are full, the schools are taking no more enrolments, and that's why we very much need to improve how we manage population growth in this country.
That's Scott Morrison speaking earlier this week. Concerns about how our urban cities will cope in the years to come are nothing new, but experts say building smarter and more flexible infrastructure could make a big difference. Carlo Ratti is the director of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Sensible City Lab. That's SENSE, spelled S-E-N-S-E. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks for having me.
So what is Sensible City? What do you do?
Well, you know, we think that today is a very interesting time when we look at cities. And the reason for that is that all of those technologies that change our lives over the past 10 or 20 years, they're entering physical space. The internet is becoming Internet of Things. So think about how different it is the way we interface with the city today versus a few decades ago, the way we navigate it with GPS in our pockets, the way we connect with other people, we shop online, we meet and mate online. So all of that now is getting to the next level, and that's what usually people refer to as smart cities. Now, we don't like to match the word smart cities because it puts too much emphasis on technology, so that's why our name is Sensible City. It's a city that's able to sense and sensible.
You've been in Sydney this week. Are you seeing signs of the strain that our Prime Minister has described?
Well, I've been in different Australian cities. I haven't really seen this this strain. But I would say it seems to me that the most important thing is really to look at how the infrastructure can be improved, perhaps how new technologies can be used in order to use more efficiently our cities before getting to the conclusion that the issue is immigration.
The population of Australia is growing fast. Take Melbourne, for example. It currently has just under 5 million people, but that's expected to increase to over 8 million by 2030. So it's a very fast rate of growth. How hard is it to future-proof a city expecting that kind of population explosion?
Well, what you're mentioning, future-proofing, is very, very important. And it's very important because, you know, it's impossible to predict the future. And the reason is that, you know, the future actually is not something to predict. The future is not written in stone, is not already defined. The future will be defined by all of our collective actions. And so it's very important that you actually can plan for different scenarios. And I think that's really important today, especially because of the role of technologies that are accelerating urban transformation. You know, going back to what you're saying about the increase in urban population, I think what we should do is really explore different models. One model certainly is the model of densifying cities. Now, I know the people usually in Australia are a bit concerned about densification, but if you think about the great vibrant urban life that you got in Melbourne, that's really the result of using better space, increasing density. And also density doesn't mean a city that's very vertical. So, for instance, you know, most people think that New York is much denser than Barcelona, but it turns out they're quite similar. And the reason is that Barcelona is planned around a different form, courtyards, which is more efficient. So it doesn't look like a dense city, but actually it is quite dense in terms of population. And I think the problem of densification is a very important one. But densification could be one way to deal with the increase of population. One can think also about satellite cities. One can think about new cities, as it's happening in other parts of the world. So I think there's a range of options, and part of future-proofing should be exploring all of them and then having a discussion with citizens. Ultimately, it should be citizens to decide what type of city they want to live in tomorrow.
So what can Australian cities learn from this? How do we apply it here in a city like Sydney or Melbourne?
Well, to me, one of the interesting things that we've seen all over the world today is to start from the infrastructure we already have, and before building new infrastructure, to see how we can use it better. And today, digital technologies allow us to use much better infrastructure than, say, in the 20th century. Let me give one example. It's about the car infrastructure. Think about the car infrastructure. Today, the car is really inefficient. The car is using the United States on average 5% of the time. And 95% of the time, not only it's not used, but actually it uses valuable space in our cities. And when it is used, you know, it's usually a five-seater, sometimes a giant SUV, and it's used by one or two people, on average 1.6. So if you just do the math, you know, it means, you know, we're using just 2 percentage points of the capacity we could get out of that infrastructure. You know, with digital, with car sharing, more and more with autonomous cars that are about to hit the road, and so on, we can share better. We can share the ride, we can share the car, and so we can use better that infrastructure, which means theoretically we could run a city such as New York or Melbourne or Sydney with just a fraction of the vehicles we have today. Well, this is just one example of what is happening across many dimensions, many urban dimensions. The fact that digital technologies allow us to use the city infrastructure in a more dynamic, flexible way, and so to use it better, to do more with less.
You said we should not jump to restricting growth, but could stricter migration policies, as our Prime Minister has foreshadowed, be part of the solution?
I'm hearing a lot of this conversation also in the United States since the election of the last president, and also, you know, in different parts of Europe with the populists in Italy, with Brexit, with populists in other European countries. It seems to me that clearly we cannot allow for giant migration flows on the global scale. There can be a lot of disruption, and we need to pay attention to that. But at the same time, we need to remember that, you know, how cities emerge. Humanity didn't have cities once upon a time. And then cities are discovered around 10,000 years ago, and this beautiful invention by humanity to bring people together, different people together, to exchange goods, to exchange ideas. We need to have, you know, a variety of people come together to make sure that together we're stronger because we are diverse and integrated. And so I think we need to be very careful not to destroy that, which is really the essence of what a city is.
Carlo, thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Carlo Ratti is the director of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Sensible City Lab. He's in Australia for the Flexible Cities Advancing Australia event at the University of Technology in Sydney. This is RN Drive.